But before we get to all of that, we'll find out a little bit about the rural news of the week with Kath McAloon. And Kath, at the time of the federal budget, there was a lot of consternation about when tax breaks for farmers would start. The Agriculture Minister, Barnaby Joyce, had expected them to be instant. Then that was changed in the budget papers. There's been further movement this week.
Yeah, some good news for farmers, with the government bringing forward the start date for the new farm tax breaks. They'll now be effective immediately, and it comes after farm groups lobbied for this, and the National Party did as well. As you mentioned, there was some sort of mixed response from farmers after the budget, with them saying, yes, tax breaks are great, we need them, but we need them now. Farmers lobbied for that to change and for it to be brought forward because there was concern that they wouldn't get any real benefit until their 2017 tax return, and that's sort of too far in the future. Agriculture Minister Barnaby Joyce has said he spoke with the Treasurer Joe Hockey about bringing them forward, and Mr Hockey now says those tax breaks will be available immediately and farmers can get on with preparing for drought and making their farms more productive.
One of the other big issues for rural Australia out of the federal budget was the change to working holiday visas, and in particular the effect on backpackers. And there's been a bit more fallout this week on that.
Yeah, reaction from a Labor hire operator who says backpackers and international workers are already turning their backs on Australia because of those changes. Now, the budget axed the tax-free threshold for those working on working holiday visas. So instead of paying tax until they reached a certain amount of income, they now have to pay at least 32 cents tax in every single dollar earned right from the get-go. And Labor hire company owner Matthew Simpson, who's from Mildura, which of course is a big area for fruit picking, he says thousands of backpackers who pick and prune local fruit each year now say that they plan to go to places like Canada and New Zealand instead.
The damage in many ways is already done, because the hot topic now in Korea is do not go to Australia. Do not go to Australia. Tax is going to kill you. You're not going to be able to eat, survive, live. So they're not going to come here.
One of the other big issues floating around in recent months has been whether Commonwealth agencies could relocate from Canberra to regional areas. Some specific figures put on that this week.
Yeah, it came up during the week at Senate Estimates, where it was revealed that it could cost more than $44 million to relocate some of those Commonwealth agencies to regional Australia. Agriculture Minister Barnaby Joyce has said he wants to move the chemical regulator, APVMA, and three research and development corporations out of Canberra into some of the regional centres to boost economies in those areas, and also to put researchers among sort of the epicentres of the industries that they're supporting. But estimates heard it could top $31 million just to move the Grains Research and Development Corporation into southern New South Wales. And the Agricultural Department's Philip Glyde says keeping costs to a minimum will be really important.
These are grower levies and they're match levies as well. So for the RDCs themselves, this will be an expense to them. And so obviously that's another incentive for both the RDC and for the department to make sure that we manage this transition as cost effectively as we can.
Also in Senate Estimates this week, a very peculiar story, a senator reading a letter that wasn't really very flattering about him.
Yeah. Bill Heffernan, who is the chair of the Rural Affairs Committee, says that he received a letter from a senior public servant that blasted his performance as the Estimates chair. It came anonymously. The Agriculture Department was quizzed during the week at Senate Estimates about changes made to Hansard by Minister Barnaby Joyce's office last year, which led to the sacking of the then Department Secretary Paul Grimes. But the proceedings kicked off, that was sort of put to one side when Senator Heffernan kicked off the proceedings by reading this unsigned letter, and I'll let him speak for himself as to what was in it.
Dear Senator Heffernan, I was one of the many senior public servants waiting around in the witness room to appear before you at committee on Tuesday night. This is February. 3 hours went by as we all sat round twiddling our thumbs and watched you and your dipshit colleagues trying to score political points off each other. You are a shithouse chair and clearly have no ability to stick to an agenda.
Pulling no punches there.
Some rather colourful language.
Well, yes. Did he sort of have anything to say about that?
He did acknowledge that changes to the estimates procedure have seen the times blow out, and he regrets that some people were denied the opportunity to give evidence at those hearings because of the blowout in time. So some acknowledgement there in response to that rather emotive letter.
Very strongly worded. Now, some interesting news emerging from the National Rural Health Conference this week, in particular about problems with prescription drugs.
We hear a lot, I guess, in recent times, particularly about problems with illicit drugs like ICE and methamphetamine, the sort of illegal drugs, but a doctor and social work researcher says that it's prescription-only painkillers like fentanyl, which has become a bigger problem in rural Australia than methamphetamines. Now, fentanyl is commonly prescribed to treat pain for cancer sufferers and also people in palliative care, and it goes into the system through a patch on the skin. But Dr. Julie-Anne Allen from the Rural New South Wales Drug and Alcohol Organisation Linden Community told the National Rural Health Conference in Darwin this week that fentanyl is often illegally used as a replacement for heroin.
There's not a lot of heroin in rural Australia, and people who like those sorts of drugs will use prescription opioids, things like OxyContin, morphine, and fentanyl is one of the options that people using those prescription drugs take up sometimes. And more people are dying in rural areas from fentanyl overdoses than in the city.
Now, apparently, there are some amazing products that we should be experiencing from vegetables in particular.
Yeah, there's a bit of a trend in the food industry at the moment towards convenient foods and snack foods, but foods which have health benefits. And a food industry consultant says there's a huge opportunity there for vegetable producers to have their products used in a broader range of products. Dr. Hazel McTavish-West consults to the food industry, and she thinks that farmers should be working with food companies to get vegetable ingredients into more products.
We're already seeing more and more beverages that are incorporating vegetables. We're seeing yogurts that have not just a fruit layer, but they might have a vegetable layer. We're seeing more and more dips. I mean, the dip category in the supermarket has grown hugely over the last few years, and that's often with vegetables as ingredients.
And Yvette has just returned from Nepal, where he's been helping with farmers and farm animals after the recent earthquake.
John Scooger from the Northern Territory says farmers in Nepal's rural area have begun rebuilding their houses from the rubble, and the corn and wheat crops there are ready for harvest. He spent, as you said, time there working to help farm animals that were injured in last month's earthquake. And he says livestock may take a bit longer to recover, with cattle, buffalo and goats suffering injuries including broken legs, lacerations and even severe bruising.
They are housed in stone barns, and those barns are built by the rural poor using stones from the area and stuck together with mud. And so when the earthquake hit, we had almost 100% destruction. So there are a lot of animals tethered inside those barns. A single animal can actually be the livelihood of a family.
And a quite extraordinary story out of Queensland. When you think of things that are valuable to pinch, I have to say gallstones don't come to mind.
You're not going to be a gallstone thief. A 35-year-old man has been arrested, and he'll appear in Toowoomba Magistrates Court next month over the theft of valuable cattle gallstones from an abattoir in southern Queensland. The stones are taken out during slaughter and then they're dried out and sold, and they're used in eastern medicine. I did not know this. Really interesting. Constable Glenn Evans is from the Stock and Rural Crime Squad, and he says these gallstones could be worth up to $30,000 a kilogram.
We received information in relation to the theft, understanding that they're an item that's quite easily to dispose of. We executed a search warrant and located them at an address. I understand that they were just taken from the processor who was in possession of them.
And in a scene that could equally be from a Meet the Parents Hollywood movie, we have the sale of milking camels.
Camel milk is really taking off, and it's led to an unusual auction in the northern Victorian town of Shepparton. This weekend, up to 200 milking camels will be up for sale. They're in demand in Victoria, partly because camel milk is selling for up to $25 a litre. Ebony Lofell is selling the camels, which were caught in remote South Australia.
My dad gets horses and bulls and camels up there. Feral animals, I guess you'd say. And yeah, there's a lot of demand for camel milk at the moment, and we've got a lot of girl camels with babies on that are ideal for milking.
just bizarre. I don't really want to try the cheese.
You're not going to have a camel milk latte.
I don't think so. Thanks, Kat.
Thanks, Anne.
Kath McAloon there. And you can find, of course, all our news stories online at abc.net.au/rural.